So if you've got your Bibles, then we're going to be looking into Ephesians chapter 1. And what we're going to be doing over the next in this mini series over the next 6 weeks is continuing our looking at our identity, our calling and our purpose. But what it says about us being those things in Jesus in Ephesians. So and each week, each person is going to take one chapter. And we've said to take one aspect of our position in Christ, our identity in Christ from that chapter. And the point is that that will become a launch pad for the rest of us to delight in scripture over the week and have a look at the rest of it, because there's no way we can get into everything. And I've got chapter one. So we're going to be looking at identity, calling and purpose in Christ, of Christ, from Christ and with Christ. And
being say that again.
In Christ, of Christ, from Christ, and with Christ.
Okay, I'll not remember that.
Okay, yeah, well, write it down. So, so Ephesians is very much about being in Christ, and in chapter one and verse one, it's one of those moments where you just can't get away from a verse. Like for me, Genesis 1:1, and God created the heavens and the earth. It's like that. And in Ephesians 1, verse one, it says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. And it's one of those verses you read over thinking, okay, there's the introduction, now let's get into the meat. But actually God has been saying to me, there's the meat, there's the bit that I want you to look at. Paul, who knew that he was sent an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we are all apostles, we are all sent ones, we are sent into the situations we are. And the situation you're in at the moment might not be the situation you've wanted or desired or expected or thought would happen. It may be not the situation that you had geared up for or that you're used to, but you've been sent into it nonetheless, into whatever situation you're in. And you're called to bring that presence of God and that honesty and that reality, that habitation of God's presence within you. We bring that shalom that into the moment where we are, whether we're at home on our own, whether we're with family, whether we're going into work, whether we're in the hospitals, wherever we are. And if you remember, Sam talked about moving from triers to deciders. And I think Paul was somebody who knew, who had decided, this is my call. I am sent from God. And I love the fact that he starts the letter not by saying Paul a rabbi, Paul a Roman citizen, Paul, he didn't identify himself according to anything other than Jesus Christ. I have been sent. And all of us right now on this big screen here, we are all sent. All of us have been sent from God. And that brings a power to it. It's not that I've just wandered into my situation haphazardly. It's not like God, all of a sudden, Mike just suddenly appeared. Oh, never mind, it's Mike. It's God has sent me. God has sent me into this morning, into this situation right now. And God has sent me to bring a word to you. I am an apostle to you at the moment, and you're an apostle to those around you in the broader sense of the word apostle. So I love that. I love that Paul starts with Paul, an apostle. So over these next few weeks, if you don't know what your calling is, well, first of all, it's the way you are now, but it may be that God's got something more he wants to show you. And I know we've been looking at that in our purpose group, and we're going to continue to look at that. So I would really encourage you to start to do that. But then I love the next bit. He says, Jesus, an apostle of Christ. And that song that Liz chose there is absolutely sounding, because it's exactly right. Christ is everything. He is the center, not us. I love it in Romans 11. Can you hear me phone going? It's my phone's ringing. Somebody's just phoning me. Romans 11, verse 36 says this: For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And in Colossians 1, it says that he is all things hold together. All things hold together. That phone has really put me off. Mm-hmm. In him, all things hold together. Okay. I love Genesis 1:1 when it talked about let there be light. Jesus is the light. Let there be Christ in our lives. So the point is this, that Jesus has got to be the center of everything. If he isn't the center of everything, then you are. There's that, I don't know if it's Greek or whether it's a Roman myth about Narcissus. And we hear about this, people have this Narcissus complex, you know, they're a bit of a Narcissus. And basically it's this guy who was very good looking, and he saw a reflection of himself in a pool. And then he never left the pool because he was just transfixed by looking at himself. And, you know, and within our society, sometimes we can be like that, you know, it's just like it's all about us and our needs and what we want. But it needs to be about Christ. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I love that. And then he says the next bit, he says this, by the will of God, not because of his qualifications, not because he happened to be in the right place at the right time, not because he passed an interview. You're not in your job because you are, for some reason, you've managed to get over some barriers, but you're there by the will of God. By the will of God, therefore. That's an empowering thing. If you know you're there by the will of God, it's been a little bit tough in school at the moment. It's been tough for everybody. You know, but at the moment, I said to Adrienne today, this job is harder than it's been before. And the only way that I can do the job that I do, and I'm sure that you can do the job you do, is knowing that I don't do this in my own strength, I do it by the will of God. And when you go into a situation knowing it's by the will of God, then you know you can do anything, because this God who has willed you to be there is the same God that created the heavens and the earth. And he flung the stars into space and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And by the will of God, you are where you are. I love it in Luke 22, verse 42, where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, not my will, but yours be done. And I think that that was a model for us. Not my will, but yours be done. And when Paul talked about by the will of God, what he's also saying is this. He's saying that God is sovereign. It's not my will, it's your will. God is sovereign, and we need to live our lives according to the sovereignty of God. I was up at 3:45 this morning. I don't know why. I was just like weird dreams. And I tuned into Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, downloaded a talk from Ephesians 1, and it was great. And he was just talking about the sovereign will of God. So powerful. Because Christianity isn't a dream factory. It isn't like Charlie the Chocolate Factory. You go along and you get whatever sweets you want and whatever goodies you want, and that's it. And it's not that God doesn't fulfill our dreams and doesn't help us with our ambitions, but that's not what it's about. We need to be a people who would rather fulfill God's dreams than ours. Let's be a people that would rather fulfill God's dreams than our dreams. And who knows, but maybe those dreams will come together. And as we spend time in God and with God, then those dreams that we have become his dreams, his dreams become ours, we become one with him. I don't know, when you were growing up, and my mum will probably be listening to this, and she will agree with me, I'm sure. You know, there are times when my mum might have said, can you tidy your bedroom, Michael? Can you do the hovering, please, Michael? Can you do this, please, Michael? And I would say, oh, do I have to? Why do I have to do that? Because I say so. And we kind of use that, because I say so. And it becomes the, because I've got authority to say so. But, you know, with God, his word is good enough. And because he says so. And sometimes there's a mystery about the will of God. Why is this happening? And we kind of rail against heaven. Why is this happening? What is your will, Lord God? I don't want this to be the will of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that implies that it wasn't the will of Jesus, because it was so tough, and yet it became his will because he knew it's the right thing to do. Not my will, but yours be done. Because you say so, I will do it. And so we need to live. Our identity, our position in Christ means that we will live a lot according to the will of God. And so the last three points I'm going to make, and very quickly, is this. As you move through Ephesians, then, from that verse 1, Paul then begins to explain how you can live like this, how you can live to your calling and to your purpose and identity. And there are three things I want to pull out from Ephesians 1. And the first one is this. It says in verse 3 that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms. So the first thing to know is this, that to live out your calling and identity, you can't do it on your own, but heaven is rooting for you. That heaven is equipping you to do it. And you may wake up in the morning and say, how can I face this day? Know that Jesus is on his knees interceding at the right hand of the Father. Know that there are angels upon angels upon armies of angels who are rooting for you, who are fighting ahead of you. That every spiritual blessing in Christ that you need to do the will of God is there for you. And I don't know how you're feeling at the moment, but it may be that you're struggling at the moment. You're not sure how you're going to get through the next few days. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. heaven is rooting for you. You're not on your own. And I think it's important, you know, that Charlie McAsee book that I've got, you know, the I can't remember, it's the boy, the fox, the whatever it is, the horse, the rabbit, or whatever, anyway, whatever it is. And there's a lovely page in there, and I might have shared this before, where the boy says to the horse, you know, what's the bravest thing that you've ever said? And the reply of the horse is, help. Help is the bravest thing that you could ever say. I've had a mum who's emailed me this week and just said she's really, really struggling. And I've said, thank you for being honest and brave enough. And so we've put her in touch with somebody. And you know, help is the most powerful word. We've got all of heaven that's rooting for us. Cry out for help. It's not wrong to do that. And the second thing is this. We see in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And it's actually in Ephesians. We read in Acts chapter 19 where Paul went to the Ephesian church and then he left, and Priscilla and Aquila were there, and he came back again. And they said that they'd received the baptism of John, cut a long story short, but they'd not received the baptism of Jesus. And so Paul prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. And there was a huge dramatic change then in terms of the witness. There were miracles that were happening. And it says that Jesus was highly honored in that town. There's something about the Holy Spirit that brings power, that brings an equipping. And Adrian was just sharing with me this morning in Romans just 15, verse 13. So I want to read this to you because it fits in with this. And Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to live out your identity, your calling, and your purpose in Christ, then you need to know the Holy Spirit. Wake up in the morning and just say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Remember Catherine Kuhlman used to do that. Wake up in the morning and just try that this week. Just wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I often wake up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, help me get out of bed. And like he does, like, you know, it happens. So just start with the Holy Spirit and carry on with the Holy Spirit. And it's not about positive thinking. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing, and we see in verse 19, and the final thing is this, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And what struck me is this, yes, that's an amazing power. But the point of that verse is this, that Jesus can bring life where there appears to be death. And each one of us can think of moments in our day when it feels a bit like death. It might be aloneness. It might be actual death, you know, that we've known. It might be something within our lives where it just feels like there's not life here. God wants to bring life. And so when we step into our identity and our calling and our purpose in Christ, that not only do we do it with the whole backing of heaven, not only do it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but we do it in the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which brings life. We are people that are called as apostles to bring life into the places where God has called us to be. So as we kind of step into this book of Ephesians, and Tom's going to be taking chapter 2 next week, and we'll all have slightly different angles and slants on it. But in all of this, God is equipping us and calling us to step into the purposes that he's got for us right now. If the world ever needed the church, it needs it now. If the world ever needed the people of God, the world needs it now. And there's great testimony to people giving their lives to Jesus and rediscovering prayer. And I want us as a church to be a part of that wonderful revival of this land and of this world, even in the middle of these times that we're living through. So let's just pray, and then we're going to open out to people for maybe some testimony, for some sharing. Father God, we lift up before you our whole lives, where you have placed us now. And we thank you, Lord, that you have everything at our disposal to live out the calling that you've called us to live out. I thank you that, Lord, we are sent ones of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so we take hold of that now, Lord God. We stand up now and take hold of it. I pray that you would embolden us with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with every spiritual blessing, with the power of the resurrection, that we would live this life fully, Lord. It may not be the life we were expecting to live a few months ago, but Lord, as we live it now today, and as we think about the glorious time when we can all be together again, Lord, there is a time coming when we will just be rejoicing so much. But right now, Lord, show us how to live and step into the calling you've got for us right now in your power. We can't do it in our power. We cry out for help from you, Lord God, that we would live out all that you've called us to live out now, with you at the center. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.